Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Mexico, United Kingdom, Canada, all across Europe, all the way to New Zealand and Australia. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and never miss an episode by subscribing wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. This show is available on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app. Subscribe wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show, I have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, authors, basically amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show, if we are live and you're catching us live, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest for today, David Breer. David, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thanks so much, Sean, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Man, I am super excited to have you on the show. You know, I've been following you for a while. I caught you on my friend Jeremy Slate's Create Your Own Life podcast, and I was like, holy smokes. Your content and your energy and everything about you is pretty addicting. And so I have to have you on Life Transformation Radio, and you graciously said yes. And so I'm very grateful for you.
Oh,
or to
absolutely.
You.
Hey, look, there's enough untapped energy and an untapped where people can do so much more in their career, in their lives, in any facet of living, that anytime I have the opportunity to contribute to that, I'm thrilled.
Awesome. Man, again, I'm very grateful and very honored to have you on the show. So the title of this episode is Rising Above the Noise with branding expert David Breer, the recipient of over 320 international awards on design and branding. David has the rare distinction of being presented the Presidential Ambassador for Global Entrepreneurship Medallion. As the secret weapon to CEOs, founders, and startups, David's nearly four decades of branding expertise are highly sought after by companies of all sizes and every industry that demands a competitive edge in today's business landscape. In addition to being a branding and rebranding expert and keynote speaker, David is the best-selling author of his number one Amazon book, Brand Intervention, 33 Steps to Transform the Brand You Have into the Brand You Need, with foreword written by Shark Tank star and CEO of FUBU, Damon John. David has been called the 007 of branding, slayer of the mundane, liberator of awesome, and crusher of mediocrity. David and his work have been featured in Adweek, Forbes, Inc., Huffington Post, Entrepreneur, Thrive Global, The New York Times, and numerous blogs and podcasts around the world. His videos on branding and innovation have been viewed over 750,000 times. If you want to know more about what he does, go to risingabovethenoise.com, risingabovethenoise.com. His LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook are all right there in the show notes. Connect with him and let him know that you heard him on either Jeremy Slate's Create Your Own Life podcast or Life Transformation Radio. So, David, the first question that I have to ask you, man, why? Why branding? Why do you do what you do?
Well, it's very, very simple. I love helping people see. I hate any time that I see anybody not seeing what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just also not seeing what's obvious. So it's the spectrum from being able to observe obvious things to being able to observe the remarkable things, to being able to observe and note and connect dots. And one of the things that I talk about oftentimes is I really love being able to connect dots that others miss. And that to me is the root and foundation of innovation, breakthrough of incredible art we all hold and revere in such a high place, or an incredible performance. You know, anytime we're awed by anything, whether it's a great meal at a great restaurant or an incredible performance in a movie theater or a theater, or some incredible work of written art, whether it's an article or a book or anything, that anyone who elevates it up several notches from the norm, what dots did they connect that the rest of us overlooked? And that's always been a fascination from a very young age.
Wow. You know, I ask that question a lot to my guests, and, you know, that's the first time that I'm literally speechless, because I have coaches that tell me kind of the same thing. And I don't know if it's like you hear it from somebody else and you're like, oh, no, totally wrong. Like, I would never, like, no. And then you hear it from somebody else and you're like, wait a minute, that does make sense. Like, that's why I hire them, because I miss things that they'll see. And then I tell the people that I work with, like, dude, you have to have the mentors and the coaches and the people, like, you have to have another set of eyes, and you have to have another way of looking, like another angle of looking at things. And that's what you're saying, is you see things that others don't. And that's, would you call it your superpower? Is that your superpower, where you see things in a way that just others would have never thought about?
I think there's a few facets to that. One is that I do tend to look at things in a different way than others. I will acknowledge that that's true. But at the same time, I don't talk about that very much, because I don't ever want to present what I do as being something out of the reach of others. So I never want to ever do that. My goal is, you know, one of the things I live by is the fact that, you know, false experts basically leave you and me feeling dependent upon them and their brilliance. A true expert actually liberates you and me. So my goal, whenever I'm talking, whether I'm doing keynote speeches or working with companies and clients around the world, my goal is to educate them as we go through the process, so that they start to be able to, they may never quite have it because of the fact that I do have one additional asset, which is they're very close to it. One of the things about companies, when they're looking at branding, rebranding, carving out their voice, setting their unique brand story, however you want to frame it, one of the things, the biggest problem, is that they're too close to it. They have mental and emotional investment where it's like, it's kind of like a person that has like a baby and that has, like, you know, five eyeballs, and nobody could say, and they're going around saying, isn't this the most gorgeous baby you've ever seen? And you want to be, you really, how can I say this? No. You know, so I mean, they're so close, right, to it. They're just drunk on their own Kool-Aid. They're a little too intoxicated. And that occurs. The biggest brands, the smallest brands, the biggest entrepreneurs, the smallest entrepreneurs, they're so close to it that they lack that sort of, I call it like this, passionate yet impartial vantage point. Because I can look at stuff and I can help companies more in 1 hour than they generally been helped in 24 months by anyone else. And I say that to brag. That's just the way it is. It's just that's what I cut the crap. I don't like bullshit. I don't like fat. I don't like fluff. And I don't like complexity. You know, the best coaches will actually bring simplicity to the problem and not bring complexity. The idiots make things more complex.
Right. No, I completely acknowledge that and understand that. On your YouTube, you have a lot of 1 minute videos.
Yep.
And I was going to say later in the show, but you already brought it up. There is no fluff. There is no BS. And that's what I love. I love the fact that you're like, listen, this is what you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. I'm out. I love that because I don't have time to sit here and watch a 45 minute video when I'm trying to find one or two key pieces of information. So what I try to do when I go in and do my Facebook Live or I do a radio show or I'm a guest on a show, I try to be as clear, concise, simplistic, I don't need to know what the weather was that day. And I don't need to know some of the other fluffy fluff stuff that people are I don't need to know all that, you know, and even conversations that I have with people, you know, my family, my friends, whatever. I'm like, what about this? Like, okay, listen, I don't need to know all that. Just yes or no. Did this happen? That's all I need. That's all I need to know with your,
exactly.
And I was watching your videos. I'm like, this is brilliant. You're in, you're out. I'm see you later. I love that.
Exactly. And that was the goal. Just so your listeners can get an idea. I mean, because what you're referring to is specifically the 1 minute Wednesdays, and what happens with those is after I came out with Brand Intervention, the book, I realized I had a brand new problem, right? So here's the overall thing. So within 2 days of going live on Amazon, it becomes an Amazon bestseller, right?
Yep.
And then I realized, holy shit, this needs to – I've just opened the door. If I don't now fill this channel that I've opened with consistent content and value, I'm going to be seen as sort of a one-hit wonder or a has-been or what's happened to him now and stuff. You know, it's kind of – you know, it's just that's the way of the world.
Right.
So that was the realization. And I was like, well, how the hell am I going to handle that? And I realized, you know what? I've done periodic and sporadic videos. And some have gone viral and done incredibly well. But I never actually used YouTube as a consistent channel. Because I all of a sudden knew, you know, it has to be a level of consistency. Be a level of consistency and predictability. Those two things, consistency in terms of are you regularly putting stuff out, but then predictability in terms of, okay, how can I make this predictable? Well, 1 minute Wednesdays. I like the sound of it. 1 minute Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. How long is the thing? 1 minute. What day of the week is it? Wednesday. If you don't get that out of the title, then we're never going to be doing business and I'll never be able to provide value to you. So that's the end of that story. So 1 minute Wednesday, all of a sudden I'm like, crap, am I going to be able to, one, fit stuff into a minute, and two, am I going to be able to, like, buy this weekly? So, and I said, I have to. It wasn't a matter of, it was like, one, do I think I can? I think I can. Can I talk about things and add value? I know that I can do that. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to take it on, and it started the first week of January in 2018. So it's been, we're actually, I think next week is going to be episode 80. We do one a week. And so that was the thing. I said, I'm going to put a monkey on my own back and make sure that I'm providing it. And I've had people now tell me, Wednesday is my favorite day of the week because I know that that's going to be coming out. You're going to be dropping a truth bomb. You're going to be dropping knowledge bombs. And that was the level of ownership I put there.
I love it. I love that. All of the branding needs to be very clear, concise, not confusing. That's what I gained out of that.
And predictable.
Predictable. Yeah.
Regularity is a very, very misunderstood concept. You know, people will fit it in and they'll do this, and they'll do that, and they won't put in the regularity into their communication. You know, well, how often do you send out, you know, emails? How often do you send out this? How often do you do that? How often do you, you know, it spans the entire spectrum of brand engagement. How often do you actually say hello to customers? How often do you welcome them? How often do you exceed and absolutely exceed and crush expectation? Because expectation is one of the so overlooked concepts. People, look, meeting expectations is a death sentence. If you say that we're open from 9 to 5, and you open at 9 and close at 5, trust me, there's not going to be any customers or clients who are going to applaud you for that brilliance.
Okay.
Right? What if you actually open a little bit earlier and stay a little bit later? And by the way, you actually had, you know, a period of the day where you made things easier. Or go with it. You know what? We may be open from 9 to 5, but from 5 to 9, call us up on this number and we will deliver you what you need. Or how do you exceed the expectation? Or how do you make it so that not just 9 to 5, but it's actually, this is what we're doing to make it faster, easier, and better, and exceeding all your expectations.
Oh, I love that. Let me ask you that, and I'm really afraid to I don't know if you're gonna crush me or what, but I'd have a talk about positioning. And I have three questions that you must ask every day to position yourself to stand out, or as you say, rise above inside the marketplace. Those three questions are: what are you willing to do more of than anybody else? What are you willing to do differently than everybody else? And how will you connect with the world around you, whether it be social media, email, whatever? What is your strategy to connect on an emotional level with them? And so that's my signature talk that I give. You must answer those three questions, and I give context to those three questions. So I'm asking, what do you think?
What do I think? What, your questions or what? I
mean, so my exact question was or is, that's my signature talk that I deliver. I ask the audience, like, you must answer these three questions in order to position yourself to rise above, to stand out in a crowd. Are those the questions that we need to be asking ourselves? What are we willing to do more of? What are we willing to do differently? And how are we going to connect emotionally? Are those the right three questions we should be asking, or am I totally off base?
I wouldn't say you're totally off base, but I think that there's one very, very vital thing that has to be added into the equation of what you're asking.
Okay.
And that is this. It is the point of differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
You and I recognize things by the degree that they are different.
Yes.
Meaning, and the way to understand this is by really clarifying the opposite. The stuff that is the same as everything else that you and I have heard, it makes the same promises, it has the same pitches, it has the same features, it's the best, it's the greatest, the most customer service oriented, it's made in the USA, it's state of the art, it's next generation, cliche. That stuff falls a roll off your back, like rough of duck's back, right?
Yep.
Right? Dull stuff. Dead on arrival. Yep. So the thing is, what happens is we need to differentiate. How do I actually show up and in a way that others do not? How do I show up and deliver in a way that others do not? How do I engage in a way that others do not? How do I add value in a way that others do not? How do I provide excellent service in a way that others do not? How do I visually portray myself so others do not? How do I talk in a way that others do not? How do I tell a story in a way that others do not? Because the bottom line is too many people have the notion, if I just communicate enough, and they play the numbers game. If I just communicate enough, if I just look enough at, hit people up enough and offer enough, and they make this wonderful, wonderful, stupid mistake. This is stupidity to avoid. This is the stupidity to avoid segment of this little conversation we're having.
Yep.
There are two races never to participate in. There's races to the top, races to the bottom. Races to the top are, like, I'm going to feature you. Oh, you have 10 features? We're going to have 12. You know, that's stupid. What? Because you're playing in the same, you're in the same category.
Yep.
The other is the race to the bottom. Oh, you guys are charging. You guys are charging $49.99. We're going to charge $49.98. And that's the race to the bottom. There's someone that's going to be able to come in and underprice you, right?
Right. Yeah, I've seen that before.
You don't want to do the race to the top, which is like, oh, they're doing these features. Oh, they're doing three toppings under pizza. We'll do four. You know.
I mean, yep.
It's not about features, people. It is about what is the transformation that you and I are making possible. What
yep.
is the transformation that you and I are making possible? What won't happen? We're there. We're not there. What will not occur if you and I are not there? That's what people have to be understanding about. Because then we have a point of differentiation. Then we have a point of value. Differentiation and value are synonymous.
Yep.
And if you truly differentiate, it's like, why should I just provide the same old crap, just a slightly more polished version, the same crap that everybody's been doing? That's why you can have companies like Uber come on the scene, because they connect the dots that everybody else missed. That's why you can have Dyson come on the scene and overnight make every other vacuum cleaner look like yesterday's news.
Right.
Why, you know, that's why Airbnb can come along and take people's homes and turn the hospitality industry on its ear, because the hospitality industry has been riding on its own complacency for how many decades? You know?
Yep.
And when they have certain rooms, they bump up the ones that you pay top dollar, blah, blah, blah. And you have other companies like Trivago that come along and try and do certain things. But Airbnb all of a sudden turns vacant spaces that are beautiful and unused into financial opportunities for those people and a great deal for travelers. So it's because people looked at things in a different way. They connected the dots that everybody else missed. And that's the kind of stuff where it gets magical and it gets amazing. That's the stuff that's powerful. And so I would add that element of differentiation into what you talked about, and then I think you've got a winning formula.
I love it. So let's talk about yours. What is a transformational moment that changed your life and put you on the path to what you're doing today?
Well, I'd say there were two.
Okay.
One early in my career and one about mid in my career. So the one early in my career, so the one thing that not everyone knows about me is that I'm a fine artist when I was in my teens. I literally did oil paintings, did life drawing. I was a fine artist. That was my thing. And basically proving myself to become an illustrator. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Then in my last semester of college, I ended up seeing a magazine and publication that blew me away. It showed me a path of excellence, of craft, of quality that was so far above what I had previously seen being done by any designers, that all of a sudden I decided, you know, that's what I want to do, because then I have to subject, I just don't have to be one piece. It's kind of like the difference between, okay, do I want to be a pastry chef or do I want to be the executive chef? The executive chef is able to basically make sure that any type of appetite that comes through the door, that any type of level of hunger, taste, and sophistication that comes through the door, that they can rise to that occasion and exceed and excel in that satisfying that need. That to me is the difference. That's what the other one, the pastry chef, is going to be. Hey, you want a good dessert? You know, so I wasn't just in doing one piece, because to me, the rest of the meal suck. And then the dessert guy comes along and saves the day by, you know, making sure that a fantastic espresso with your final drink in the evening with this dessert. But that's just, to me, it's a little bit too small. It wasn't a wide sphere. So once I saw that, I made a very conscious decision to become a designer. I then started a career in New York City as a logo designer, as a logo specialist, worked with top design agencies as a freelancer and working with individual companies, you know, really as a freelancer in that talent pool. So that was how I started. Wow. That was one transformational thing. So I made a conscious decision to go from being an artist, which was one cog in the wheel, to basically right. being the really taking full charge. Then about 15 years into, no, yeah, maybe 15 years into it, I was doing a lot of different things in my life, being married, having various levels of success and this, that, the other. And I was seeing that I started doing things, and I worked with one particular chocolatier. And with that chocolatier, first time that I kind of implemented all of the things I had been really working at perfecting. And what I mean by that means design. That means mm-hmm. color. That means materials, printing, language, all the various bits and pieces. And so to tell the story for my client, this chocolate story. What happened was I redesigned it, and I did everything almost the opposite of what was currently being done by all of the chocolatiers. Because I knew the power of differentiation. I knew the power of design. I knew the power of all these things working in concert. There's one analogy that I make is you do not have a symphony just because you have 25 of the top world-class musicians in the world standing in the same room. Until you actually sit them all down and say, oh, by the way, this is the tempo. Oh, by the way, this is the key. No, by the way, here's the sheet music so you can actually read charts and we can all play together. It's not until that moment that you actually have a symphony. So with that, what I then ended up doing is I brought together all of these disparate areas of specialization that I'd been focusing on, brought them together with this, and revamped and rebranded this chocolatier. This is in the middle of the summer that we came up with a soft launch. Soft launch meaning on the back counter in his boutique shop, he put the boxes. You got to get the idea. This is one of the top 3-4 chocolatiers in the United States, but real boutique. So a very local following. There's no new people. There's no new flavors, no changes in pricing, no changes in promotion, no changes in signage, no new hours, nothing. No new sex people with really low-cut shirts, nothing, okay? No changes except these boxes are on the back counter. So I came to him at the end of this, and this is June of that year. I came to him, and I said, Mike, what happened? How did it go? And he told me, mm-hmm. kind of pulled me aside, put in my ear. He says, sales of Ruffles tripled, 300%.
Wow.
30 days. July, come to him. I'm like, well, maybe this was just like a blip. Maybe it was like just a, I don't know, maybe it was a month. He says July exceeded June. And then when I went to him at the end of August, he told me not only did August exceed July, but August exceeded February.
Wow. Wow.
So that was
huge.
That was kind of like irrefutable proof for me that I was like, holy shit. This is the magic sauce. This is what it takes. I know the exact ingredients that must go into making a brand rise above the noise and the exact things to eliminate from the equation so they didn't distract, waste time, become complete BS and just shit that just distracts and does nothing to elevate anyone's dream. Because I know entrepreneurs are rebels. Entrepreneurs refuse to play to the rules. They want to create their own rules.
Yep.
They want to defy expectation. They didn't get into it to become the prettier wallflower. They came in to like make a dent. And I'm here to help them make that dent. So those are my two transformational moments.
Wow. I mean that, how awesome is that, that it exceeded February when I think that the most amount of chocolate in the world has ever sold like in the month of February.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
And not everybody knows that summer is the lowest globally. It's the lowest season for sales globally for chocolate.
Because it melts?
Well, I think people go for – it seems that sort of people tend to go for I think melting might be a factor. I think also people go for, hey, they want the colder thing. They'll have ice cream. They'll have sherbet. They'll have ices. Yeah. They'll have whatever. And so the idea of like chocolate just doesn't seem to resonate as much, obviously, in the fall and winter months. So it's not only the factor that it exceeded February, but it's the factor that in the what's supposed to be the lowest produced, the lowest sales month of the year, it crushed February.
Holy smokes. So taking everything you know now, 4 decades of experience, your why, your transformational moment, how are you taking that and elevating the world around you?
Well, one, the book, Brand Intervention, I realized that I had, when I started writing the book, I was basically 35 years into my career, and I saw that every client, and I work with large corporations, I work with small corporations, I work with startups, I work with companies, every industry, whether it's B2B, B2C, which is its own myth, and we could tell that, we could just crush the shit out of that bullshit. because for those that are listening, who are like, what the hell does he mean? What the hell does he mean to say B2B and B2C is bullshit? Well, it's bullshit because of this. It's called, they're humans at the end of the equation, okay? It's you and me. Some of us are in a business setting. Some of us are in a personal setting. But what I mean is there's still a human making a decision. That's why I say the concept of B2B, B2C, it's a wonderful concept. It sounds great. Someone came up with it, and I knew who they were. I want to punch them. So, but besides that, the big thing is that I wanted to, I had the same questions would always come up, the same misconceptions. And when I would fail to tackle them, they would rear their ugly heads at some point in the process of working with my clients. So I was like, if I'm always getting these questions, I need to put this down so that it's actually in a book, which amazingly, the book is done beautifully and people love it.
Oh yeah.
And even this, I mean, I have this is complete and utter shameless. I have to share with you.
Let's do it.
So do you know who Claude Silver is?
Marshall Silver?
Claude Silver from VaynerMedia.
Claude Silver. The name is familiar. I don't personally know him, but I know the name.
It's a she. Claude's actually a she.
Perfect.
So Claude is, her title is Chief Heart Officer at VaynerMedia. Okay?
Oh, that's why it sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's Gary's right-hand person. She does internally what Gary does externally.
Got it.
Okay. So she's right up there. She and I connected about 4 months ago, and we just got along famously, right? It was immediate, like we absolutely fell in love with each other. Just like it was a rather instantaneous chemistry. I sent her my book in anticipation of our first discussion because I was like, hey, I wanted to say this to you in appreciation for what you do. Here's what she said. This is not only an outstanding book on branding, but it is an excellent example of branding, design, and content I keep in my office. I only wish I had this book at the beginning of my career.
Oh, wow.
So the thing is that was, so as far as what I'm doing, I consider that we each have the responsibility to be a living legacy in progress, and to have the wherewithal in terms of awareness to know that we're either going to leave this place better, or we're going to be like a freaking wallflower and basically make the choice to have become kind of like stayed so invisible, made sure we stayed out of trouble, all that kind of crap. And I basically refuse to do that. So what I do is the book is one thing. One Wednesday is another. I've just started releasing Monday Morning Mojo. That's another. I am known for the content I put out regularly. I write articles regularly. I do keynotes. The bottom line is that I never, ever want to have somebody operate at a fraction of their capacity. I never want to have them operate. I never want to also have them misassign what I consider cause. And what I mean by that is sometimes we'll have people say, you know what, they'll kind of be like, well, I'm really here because of like luck, or I'm here because of like, got this, you know, this break. People make their breaks. People make lucky breaks. People do good stuff. And good stuff will not always get you. I mean, good stuff alone is not always going to get you like a break. That's for sure. But if you do good things and you own distributing it out in the world and you get it out there and you do stuff, and if you're amazing, don't give me this apologetic humility bullshit. If you're amazing, tell me. If you're freaking damn good, if you're a genius at what you do, own it, please.
Yep.
I mean, don't leave it for people to have to discover. That's the bullshit right there. Don't leave your ingenuity and your brilliance something that people have to discover. That is a load of crap. And someone fed it to you. Someone fed it. I will tell you now, the idea of ability is a wonderful thing, but and there is a grace in how one talks about their talent. But it's kind of like this. Add value. Don't have your hand out to get. Have your hand out to give. And give and give. And provide that value to others. Provide a wherewithal so others feel enriched. So others feel brilliant, empowered, to the point where they can become independent of you. The greatest entrepreneurs, the greatest teachers, give you and me the independence to be ourselves, stand on our own two feet, not always be standing on their shoulders.
Yep. You know, I get messages throughout the week. I post content at 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and 8 p.m. because that's when my audience is really the most engaging on my posts. And I started like, okay, let me feel out what I want to put out there. And so I have my four topics that I talk about, and I only talk about those four topics because I want to position myself as those four topic expert. I get messages throughout the week, once or twice a week, like, dude, like I gave away my entire book launch strategy. It was super funny. I gave away my entire book launch strategy. Step by step, this is what you must do to get Amazon bestseller. This is what you have to do. Not negotiable. You must do this. Two people message me and goes, dude, this is amazing. I want to work with you. I'm like, but you have my strategy right there. They're like, I want to work with you. So we worked together, got them bestseller status, which was awesome because I give up free content and somebody wants to work with me. I love that. Somebody else messaged me and goes, this is ridiculous. Why would you give that away? You have nothing left to sell. Do many times I hear that? I have nothing left to sell. Why would I give everything away for free? Why would I give so much value? I have nothing left to sell. Then you got a serious issue. You have a serious issue in your business if you think that you're just going to give one thing away and you have nothing left to sell.
Well, absolutely. I could not agree with you more. It is a false notion. And it's what's interesting about it, it's actually evidence of a scarcity mindset. If you are that one dimensional that you like one freaking peanut in your pocket, freaking to put off, I mean, you're in shit city, buddy.
Yep. And it's just amazing that people think that way.
If there's any of your listeners who are listening to this, I will challenge them. I will say, follow exactly what Sean just said. Give away your best stuff. And you will find by doing that, all of a sudden, almost by magic, you will find that you have more stuff to actually provide, whether it's a factor of necessity or whether it's a factor that you just created a vacuum. And in other words, you can only get so much crap shoved down like a sink, you know?
Yeah.
It's like eventually you got to like clear it out. That way there's room to go. Like otherwise, if one were to apply this to their, you know, to anything, whether it be a sink, anything else, it's like, you gotta look, the stuff you eat is going to come out the other end. You got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that makes for more stuff. So there it is.
Yeah. And you know what? Literally half the people that you, like if you put a post on social media or you have an email list, you're building it and you put out something amazing, half the people will not take action on that content. They just won't. I don't know why. They just won't. Oh, the other half will start implementing it, or they'll mess it up and then need you anyways. That's my theory. So like half the people won't even do it. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
The other half will. Then there's some that are like, crap, I messed it up. I need to go speak with him, and you're going to get on a phone call anyways, and you're doing business together anyways.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it really is the evidence of a scarcity mindset. And some people are doing it unknowingly. Other people are doing it very consciously, that they think that they're convinced themselves. But I will tell you, you can easily prove it. Say, you know what? Start giving away your best stuff for free.
Yep. And I have this year. And literally, I looked at all of the content that I was putting out. And I said, okay, what am I going to do? So I started testing it. Little by little, I was like, okay, that's not enough value, not enough engagement. They like this value, this speaker or this podcast that I'm talking about, or how to do these things. That's great value. Then somebody says, holy crap, this is amazing. So I started putting out that type of content and then that level of value content. And I will tell you that this year has been my most profitable year. I've worked with more people. I'm speaking at more locations. Guests like you, like amazing high profile guests that are absolutely crushing it, that I would kill for 5 minutes of your time just to sit there, not pick your brain like everybody says, but just be in your presence and in your energy and just absorb the things that, like, I started watching your videos and I've subscribed to your YouTube channel. I just bought your book on Amazon. And I just like, I consume the people that I'm like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. I have maybe 4 or 5 people in my life that I follow what they say and do, and the rest to me is just noise and fluff.
Yep.
I pick the 4 or 5 best people, put them on my board of directors, and say, these are the people that I'm following, and whatever everybody else says is, okay, whatever, I'll look, you know, but I'm concentrating on these 4 or 5 people because I believe that success leaves clues, and if it's going to work for them, then I'm doing it, you know? So, like, you know, yeah, so – they're not even going to take action on it anyway. So just give your best stuff. Who cares?
Yeah.
Half the people won't do anything with it.
Have you ever caught, I mean, that's one of the things, that was actually, it was a concept that was brought to me by Gary Vee was doing one thing. He goes, you know, some people ask me, and you probably have heard this as well. Because some people ask, why do you give stuff away for free? He goes, I'm very, very, very practical. He goes, is it a factor of me giving my away stuff for free, or the fact that 99% of you are not going to jack shit with what I'm actually telling you?
I was being generous. I thought it was half.
Like, dude, you have no idea how generous you are being, dude.
Jeez, 99%. Good God.
But it was a brilliant analysis, because he goes, people talk to me and say, you know, dude, there's a liability of what you're sharing. He goes, the liability is with me. He goes, the liability is that there is no liability, because 99% of you will do nothing. I think talking maybe in Australia, he's talking, let's say, an audience of a couple thousand, a few thousand, and he goes, maybe 2 of you will actually do what I'm actually telling you to do.
Jeez, that's so bad.
It's bad. But
so
you know
why
what?
Don't they? Why don't they take action?
Why don't they take action?
Yeah, why not?
I wish I had a great insight into that. There's a lot of, I can make some guesses, but they'd just be guesses.
Sure.
Put it this way. All I know is they do or don't. They just, I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
I don't have any great insight as to why they're in that state of inertia. You know, maybe they're operating on the principle of, you know, if I keep coming to enough lectures and to like, or reading enough books, and I'm like, you know what? You've read enough books, you've gone to enough lectures, you've networked enough conferences, start doing.
Yeah. What are they called? There's an actual name. And I heard this term a couple months ago. I was speaking at a conference that everybody's pretty much heard about. You know, in the resilience space anyways, I speak a lot about resilience, and I was at the conference speaking, and somebody, they call them like, you know how they call them like barflies? Like they're always that, like they just conference hop, like from one to another, like the event hoppers or whatever. They go from like conference to conference thinking that they're going to hear something different or it's going to be a little bit different, or they're waiting for this one thing. It's like you heard the same message at the last three events, but you haven't done anything.
You know, and you know what it is? You know, I just realized what it is listening to you. I realized what it is. They have the magic is to come from out there and impact them, waiting for that one thing, that one thing to out there. They put the ownership of impact and ownership of momentum and the ownership of initiative into the world outside of them rather than owning it. And at the moment that they actually own it, they literally take ownership right there and then. It's no. It's not about there. Stop. And in fact, I'll tell you, if anybody that's listening falls into this category, I'll tell you the cure. Here's the cure. Start teaching. You must boycott inflowing information. You now need to start teaching. Take 6 months and start teaching this to shit others. Because one, you'll realize the stuff that you really don't know. Two, you'll figure out stuff that, holy shit, I haven't figured out how to teach another. Because I have a principle and I have a rule. Never learn for one, always learn for two. The people that go in and study anything, whether they're studying something or reading something or attending something, listening to something, they are doing it just for themselves. For one, guaranteed, it is proven the amount of use that you will make out of that is fractional compared to someone who's actually studying it to then learn how to teach another. So never learn for one, always learn for two. That will shift the entire mechanism.
Boom! Oh my God. Oh my God, that was awesome. I'm like scrambling here taking notes. Like, I got. Where was this? At like 45 minutes and somewhere. Can I go back and listen to that? That was amazing. Holy crap. Jeez, man, that was like fire. So let's do this. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug your programs, products, services, books, wherever you want the listeners to know and to do. Shamelessly plug. Go.
Totally. Okay. So first of all, go to risingofthenoise.com, R-I-S-I-N-G, risingofthenoise.com, and subscribe. You go, you'll actually see there's a free ebook right there, The Lucky Brand. It's been, Inc. says, and Inc. applauds it. I mean, it's been probably thousands and thousands and thousands. I've lost count. Probably, whatever, 5, 10, 15,000 people around the world have downloaded it and taken advantage of it. It's a powerhouse book, and you get automatically subscribed. That's one thing you need to do. You should definitely hook up with me or follow me on LinkedIn. There's a lot of content that should be dropped there. As you did, you went to YouTube, go to the YouTube, subscribe there, you'll get a lot of great content. There's a lot of powerful stuff there. But if you are still listening, and if you're not still listening, I'm going to probably bitch slap you next to you, whoever you are. I'm going to get your name and addresses from Sean. He's going to tell me. And so I'll do a world tour bitch slap by David Breyer. It'll be absolutely amazing. And so the thing is what I would say is grab, and here's the deal. You need to grab a copy of Brand Intervention. It's called the Branding Bible. And here's the deal. I don't make money on the book. It becomes a tool. There's only so many hours in a day. How much can any of us do in a given day? Even if we're the most productive, the most efficient, and we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we don't go to bed till midnight, how much can you actually get done? At a certain point, you're going to just burn all candles. So all right. What you need to do is grab yourself a book, a copy of Brand Intervention. I highly recommend you get the hardcover because the hardcover has the production values. And I challenge you. Read the book, not for yourself. Read the book to absorb the content that's in there to teach another.
Mm-hmm.
And I will guarantee you, if your life does not change, I'll personally buy the book back for you.
There you go.
If your viewpoint on the world around you does not shift 180 degrees, and reading the book with that viewpoint, Don't study, never learn for one, always learn for two. You apply that principle, and you do that with this book. Damon John wrote the foreword. He doesn't do that just for anybody. Okay, Damon John from Shark Tank wrote the foreword. Ted Rubin loves the book. Grant Cardone loves it. I mean, it's like there are, and Clark Silverhoy just mentioned, the book is not like any other book you've ever read. Personally, and I'll tell you, the reason I wrote the book was because I personally was sick of business books that were 200 to 300 pages long to find that they always had 10 pages that had the secret sauce. And everything before and after those 10 pages was fluff or extrapolation or was them listening to themselves talk. If I have to spend 20 pages to explain one paragraph, I would rather correct that one paragraph and give you the one paragraph than write the 20 pages because that's disrespecting your time. So this is the first book written for people who did not have the time to actually read another book on branding because the last 50 pages show you visuals. You see how it's done. Cop the text larger than any text you've ever seen in a book. It's ridiculous. And I'm already working on the next book, and I will – and if you and you get this one, trust me, the next book is going to freaking blow your mind. It's what's happened since I wrote the first book.
So is it going to be like a continuation of like an extension of the brand intervention book, or is it something completely different?
It's going to be probably brand intervention sequel because
gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Because as I did the first book and after that came out, people were like this and people like that. You know, what they got out. I've seen what people got out of it and I've seen where people, they read it and they still don't get certain points. And one of the things that I'm thrilled to hear people do is I say, now that you've read the book, you'll probably want to read it again after reading this next section. And a lot of people say, I've already read your book two times or three times. And their understanding is the only time they get more understanding is when they work with me directly. And so those are the things that I would say that they should really do. Now, unless
I love it.
You've been sitting, here's the only other caveat that I'll say, unless mm-hmm. you have a brand, whether that brand is your personal brand or your product or service, and you've been kind of like sort of, you know, you're just sort of just waiting in the pool, sort of like you hit a plateau or you've lost traction or you run into people having misconceptions about you or people actually pinhole you. Oh, you're the company that does blah, which you haven't done 10 or 15 or 20 years, and they don't even know what you've been doing since. So if you get pigeonholed, if you have been basically just sort of like misconceived, people like, well, are you blah, 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 or you've become less relevant because of cultural changes and other shifts and things like that. Like all of a sudden, you know, a new technology comes out and you're no longer relevant. And you're like, damn it, we called ourselves blah, 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 and that's no longer meaningful or relevant. If you're running into those problems, this is a personal invitation. Get on the phone. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Don't
Boom.
Be shy. Shyness is stupid.
Yep.
Don't be shy. Humility is stupid. Don't be hesitant. The best performers in the world, the best athletes in the world, the best entrepreneurs in the world act and they're decisive and they have conviction. And you know what? They screw up too. And when they do, they get over their screw ups really fast. They don't sit and go, oh, I'm wounded. Get over it.
Yep. There you go. Man,
other
I love it.
Other than that, I got nothing to offer anybody.
I'm like, there's nothing else to say. Like, just do it. Like, either, like, I live my life by one simple principle. You say yes, and you figure it out. Like
yeah.
Today, there is no other way to do business. Like, you say yes, and you figure it out. Like, with YouTube and social media and podcast, like, there's so much content. Like, there's no way you can't be successful. Like you need to get out of your own way. You need to get out of your own mind. Like just take action. And so, really, what we were talking about earlier, the only way that you're not going to be successful right now is if you don't take action. Because there's just so much abundance of content. Like, it's out. There's I don't think there's any secrets just left over. Like, there's just not. There's just innovation now.
Well,
you can't not succeed.
Well, exactly. But here's the other thing, too, that I would just add to that is that, you know what? Realize you're going to screw up. Mm-hmm. And realize we all do. There's not a single success story that didn't scrape their knees on the way up. No one is entitled to anything. No one is entitled. It doesn't matter. Do you know how many starving artists are that are brilliant? How many amazing entrepreneurs there are that didn't make the dent that they could have and should have? You know, it's like they weren't bold enough. They didn't take the correct estimation. What's it going to take for me as an entrepreneur, as a business, as a service in the world to make a dent, to change how things are? Am I doing things loud enough? Am I doing things big enough? Am I doing things bold enough? Am I doing things different enough? And that applies to everything, not only in terms of service, but in terms of how you communicate. Because you have only two choices in the world. You're either adding to the noise or you're rising above the noise. And you got to be rising above the noise.
Yep,
that's
100%.
That's when I started doing blogs. I was like, well, wait a second. There's all these great blogs. There's these incredible bloggers who write great things and this, the other, and da-da-da-da-da. What's the deal? You know, how it's like, why do they pay attention to me? What could I do? Here's the key question. What could I do that's different? What could I do that could give them better value than what's already out there? That's the question. You take those two questions, you will change your life. Those two questions.
I love it. Man, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has absolutely been an honor and a blessing. Not only for me, for the listeners that are listening to the show right now, I just can't thank you enough, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I only had one coffee today. I mean, it's terrible.
We blew through that hour. Man. So, hey, I wish you the best. I have enjoyed the past week. Really diving hard into your content, onto YouTube. And I can't wait to dig into your book too. Just got it. So I'm looking to diving in. I'm going to Minneapolis this weekend to speak at a marketing event. So that's going to be what I read on the plane. And
where's Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Where?
I'm looking right now. It's the Marketing X Factor event. That's what it's called. It's all 3 days. I'm speaking on Friday and then I'm speaking again on Saturday.
I'm going to be in Minneapolis on Saturday.
No, you're going to be in Minneapolis on Saturday?
I am. We'll talk after the show. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a chance to grab a coffee.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to buy you lunch now. And I promise I won't pick your brain. All right, man. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. This is outstanding. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me. And I really enjoyed it. I really appreciate it. I hope that listeners really take it to heart, man. There's so much to achieve. Do not underestimate your slice of humanity and your role, what can happen and the positive impacts that you can have. Do not ever underestimate those. That's my leaving message.
Awesome. Great message to leave. The listeners listening right now, if anything resonated with you, please go to risingabovethenoise.com. LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, right there. There is no other reason other than you just feel like not taking action and living your life at a low level, then getting connected with David. He is absolutely outstanding, absolutely on fire with what he does and believes in. And so with that, connect with him everywhere he is and get to know him and set up a call with David today. With that, I want to leave you with this. Live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.